that's the flower pattern.
Oh!
Two leaves and a flower. And that was his signature. And then on a place like the fender, he put a stem on it and a few more.
So these are stamps that
he had. He just stamped them.
God, they're so beautiful.
And, you know, there's a lot of stamps there. Huh. And you see the initials, put my initials on the back of the saddle up there.
Oh.
So you could personalize them that way.
This is Brian Jackson. We're in the shed beside his home outside the small town of Minto, checking out a saddle that was made by Donnie Gardner.
It looks like the dog chewed on that. Jackie was using it.
Like, he's such an artist.
Well, what happened, to my knowledge, was that everybody else had retired, and, you know, some people just started coming from far and wide because he was the only one left.
I'm attracted to telling this story because I identify with Donnie. I, too, am an artist, attempting to make a living through the capability of my own two hands. Locals have no problem remembering Donnie Gardner. For 60 years, his saddle-making shop was at the center of Minto. Once I started asking questions, it became clear that one voice would not be enough to capture this extraordinary small-town character. Pursuing the memory of Donnie Gardner brought me to the dining room tables of four different homes, where I learned about him from four different perspectives. Today, we will hear from a town historian, Donnie's customers, his neighbors, and his workshop helper. Welcome to Vantage Points, where we explore the history of southwestern Manitoba. My name is Tayana Neufeld. Episode 5, The Saddle Maker.
Gardner, he actually was in World War
One,
and so he,
and he was a mule skinner. You know what that is?
What's that?
A mule skinner is one that drives the mules and takes care of them when they pull the cannons.
Oh. So he did that.
Going and he had the vocabulary of a mule skinner.
Yeah.
If you can imagine that, eh?
Yeah.
Dave and Connie Dick remember Donnie Gardner well. They farm south of Boisvane and keep a barn full of horses. They were customers of Donnie Gardner's.
And he made me a couple headstalls, made me a headstall, and he tooled it. He had two tooling patterns that he always did.
The rosebud was one.
Yeah, and the acorn was the other.
Oh, yeah, right. And if I go to a place where they have different saddles,
you can always pick out the ones he's made.
That's a Don Gardner saddle. You can pick out immediately because of his definite pattern.
Yeah, and the repairs he used to do on them.
Before we go any further, a bit of history. Donnie Gardner was born in England in the year 1900. His father was a saddler, and the young Donnie became his apprentice when he was 13. He served in World War I as an army saddler, or mule skinner as they were sometimes called. His job was to take care of the saddles and tack for the horses and mules involved in pulling the artillery. After the war, Donnie Gardner moved to Canada. In 1922, he opened his small saddle shop in Minto, Manitoba. Brian Jackson, who we met at the top of the episode, is the unofficial historian for the town of Minto.
When he first came over, he was more of a harness maker, by my understanding. And he, to my knowledge, just fixed harness. Maybe he made some light harness, too. I never seen any harness with his signature flower on it, but riding apparel bridles and saddles, they always carry that flower. I remember a lot of farmers talking about swather canvases, binder canvases in the early days. He would fix those and rebuild as well as harness. And then once the people quit working with horses, they didn't need harness so much. And then he kind of got more into saddles and stuff. Because I guess after that point, people were using horses for leisure and more so.
When was that switch?
Transition?
Yeah.
Really, I guess around the time of the Second World War, I'm told, because of the lack of manpower. in Canada here.
I like to think that as farmers moved from using horses to tractors, that Donnie was really able to come into his own as the artist he so clearly was. Instead of making and repairing harness and canvas, he was able to invest the dozens of hours it took to create a saddle of real beauty and world-class craftsmanship. In addition to making saddles, Donnie had a half section of land east of Minto where he kept pigs.
And every morning I can remember when I was in Minto school, he and his wife Gertie would be going past the school, going out to the farm. And then they would come back and start working in the shop. And he did a lot of visiting while he was in the shop, especially in later years. And it wasn't unusual, like after the Christmas concert was over, you'd be coming out to the vehicle, they'd still be in the shop working. So that would be 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. That was their whole life.
Earl and Wenda Wood can attest to Donnie's work ethic. They start by describing the saddle shop, where Don Gardner would work late into the night.
And it was an old building that never been painted, as far as I can remember.
Just an old building.
And then the house was right beside it.
So they lived right beside it.
Yeah.
Because Brian says they worked all day long.
Oh, they did. They'd work all night, some nights.
Right. He's got a guy.
He could make saddles. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he sure could.
Earl and Wenda live in downtown Minto, right across from where Gardner's saddle shop was. They introduced me to someone else that could have been the key to Donnie Gardner's success, his wife, Gertrude.
Gert was a tall, kind of angular lady that wore pants and stuff before her time, probably, you know, old kind of, you know, years back the women didn't wear that as much.
Donnie married Gertrude Ferreira in 1924, and together they raised two sons.
She just would do what he told her. They were from that kind of generation that, you know.
Yes, Daddy, she is.
Yes, Daddy.
Well, she'd get him there.
She got him everything. Hi, Daddy. And she'd sit there and she'd run and get this and bring it over. And she'd run over here and get it. And she just would hurry. Yeah, they were quite the pair. I'll tell you.
How did you get to know him? How did he become a friend of yours?
Because we needed saddles fixed. Go to Donnie Gardner.
Yeah, I guess that's how I got to know him. I used to take stuff over and get him to do it, and then he'd get me to help him, and I enjoyed doing that.
My search for people who knew Donnie led me to Mel and Vera Maloney. They live in Boisevain now, but had a PMU farm near Ninga, and later operated a summer horse riding stable for visitors to Spruce Woods Provincial Park.
And then, you know, he was getting old and he couldn't handle a lot of his, like, he got a leather in and hides, the whole hide off.
Right, yeah.
So it was pretty heavy stuff, sure. So I used to go over and help him cut the stuff up into smaller stuff that he could use. And I used to go over there quite a bit, didn't I? A lot of evenings and that when I got off work.
Mel Maloney became a kind of apprentice to Donnie Gardner in his older years.
He was very particular about the kind of leather, like you got to feel the leather and say, no, that's no good for what I want there. And God, I can remember if he'd go to fix something and I was there helping him and, well, go and get that piece. And so I'd bring it over and he'd feel, no, that's not the one I want. Maybe take about four different hides before I give him one. And we had different tools and things for you. You know, cutting the different parts you needed on the saddle or harness. Like you fixed harness as well as saddles.
Okay. So he did, he fixed saddles as well as made them from scratch?
Well, he mainly fixed them, yeah. See, a lot of times, like there's a wood frame inside a saddle.
Right.
And he'd take this wood frame and somebody bring him a wood frame with maybe littler, there was stuff on it, but it was kind of rotted off.
Okay.
And the wood frame would be all right.
Oh, okay.
He'd make all the rest of it, yeah.
Okay.
Right. No, he was real good at that.
And did he make, was there an effort to make them beautiful when he fixed them, or was he just trying to patch it up and make it usable?
No, he'd make them, you know, so they looked real good. No, he was good.
He's known for doing
this. No, when he fixed the saddle, it looked like new.
Yeah.
Almost all of the stitching on his saddles was done by hand. The tooling patterns were designed in-house and carved by hand. Fancy lacings, rosettes of leather, padding of gray felt, and sheepskin were part of each and every saddle. The saddles he made in his shop in Minto would soon be famous across both Canada and the United States.
Well, I think the reason he was well known that there's not many people that could do that kind of work.
Yeah.
You see, he was getting, you know, saddles to fix from the States,
yeah.
Saskatchewan and Alberta, all over. Like, I don't think there's a saddle maker that I know of anywhere else around.
Anywhere else.
But I think there were a lot of tears when Donnie closed his shop.
Yeah.
No, he was just such a friendly man. Everybody loved Donnie. And
Donnie Gardner carried on making saddles right up until his death in 1982. His wife, Gert, died the year after. The art of making handcrafted saddles was already a vanishing trade during the last half of Donnie's life. Today, it is almost non-existent in Canada. I love Donnie's story because it's one of an artist thriving in changing times. When farming with horses turned into farming with tractors, he didn't find himself without work. Instead, it offered him the opportunity to flourish. I think he survived the transition because he was an artist, and he became known for something that was really specialized, and I expect rather expensive. But due to the quality of his work, his customers had reason to come to him, to search him out. The artist in me is inspired by Donnie's success, because I myself am attracted to living in remote places. And in a culture that I feel is constantly undervaluing things that are made by hand, it's intimidating to rely on your artwork under any circumstance, but especially while living rurally, or far from your customer base, or if you have a very niche product, or a very expensive one, making a living as an artist is never a certainty. I read a quote from Donnie Gardner's father that says, "If you can build something better than anyone else, the world will make a path to your door." It's clear to me that Donnie took this sentiment to heart. Donnie gives me hope and a belief that if you do what you love, what you really love, and you invest the thousands of hours necessary to do it really well, you will be rewarded. Thank you to Brian Jackson, Dave and Connie Dick, Earl and Wenda Wood, and Mel and Vera Maloney for sharing their stories with us. Since conducting the interview with Mel and Vera Maloney, Mel has passed away. Thank you to Vera and the rest of his family for giving us permission to share Mel's very special insight into the workshop of Donnie Gardner. This podcast is a project of the Turtle Mountain Surf Plains Heritage Association. To find the rest of our podcast series, please go to our website, vantagepoints.ca. Our theme music is by Montreal producer Buffalo. Go check him out on all major streaming platforms.
and he knew Mel, you know, did a lot of woodwork and a lot of fixing things.
Okay.
So he finally said, you know, I need you to stay and help me. Mm. He wanted him to work with him.
Mm.